Psalm 32. I want to show you a verse of scripture here and then bring your thought this morning. You come back tonight, we're going to have a lot more singing. It'll be good. And get down just higher, brother. Amen. Psalm 32. And I want to show you a verse of scripture here. Look at verse 9. Psalm 32 and verse 9. This is an unusual verse. It said, "Be ye not as the horse." You're not supposed to be like a horse, people. That's what he said. He said, "Well, why in the world would the Lord?" The only logical explanation for the Lord saying that is there are people that are like horses. Or, worse than that, as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle. Maybe that's what's wrong with some Baptist I've met. You're going to have to put a bit in your mouth. And a bridle. I like to see some of these WMU women's meeting up with a bridle in their mouth. But the Bible said, lest they come near unto thee. So it says, be not as the horse. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. Horse sense. Horse sense. You ever heard that old saying? Just good old common horse sense.
Yeah.
Me and you would call it common sense. And somebody said that common sense ain't too common anymore.
You're right, preacher.
Amen. Hear that a little bit, brother? Common sense not too common. You can't hardly find it. Common sense is rare anymore. So the Bible said this. There's certain things that a horse knows, but a horse don't have no understanding. Let me see if I can say it like this. Here's what a horse knows. A horse knows how to get to his food, where the trough is. A horse knows how to run from danger. A horse knows how to respond to his rider. When you kick him, you can train a horse to turn right or turn left or run fast or stop. They can do that. But the horse can't tell you what time it is. You can't walk up to a horse and say, which way is it to Valdez from here? They have no understanding. And he said a lot of people are like that. You ever met anybody that's, they've been to school and they know how to read and write and they know how to, but they don't have no understanding. No understanding. He said, don't be like that. Don't be like a horse. Like that. So there's a woman in West Virginia not long ago called up the state and said, look, you people are going to have to come out here and do something about these signs out here. She said, you've got this deer crossing sign out here and I want you to come and take it down. These deer are getting hit. And they're getting, and people running over them. And some of y'all are so dumb, you don't even get what I'm saying. She thought that the deer seen that sign, for you that can't understand that, and that's where they went and crossed the road. She had no understanding. Or she's like the blonde who was driving down the road, and she stopped at a red light, and she was knitting, doing her knitting like this. And a cop pulled up beside her and hollered and he said, pull over! And well, she looked back at him and said, no, dummy, it's a scarf! So you might be like that. She has no understanding. We got girls sitting in here this morning going, just laugh when everybody else laughs. And maybe one day God will give you understanding. There is a difference between just knowing certain stuff and understanding. Bible said, be not as the horse, which has no understanding. Little boy walked in one day, walked into a place, lady come to the counter, and she walks in and said, I want a cheeseburger, I like a cheeseburger. And the lady on the counter said, shh, this is a public library. She said, oh, I'm sorry, I want a cheeseburger. She's like the horse. She has no understanding. Now the Bible said for me and you not to be like that.
Right.
Look, it is not a sin to be dumb. It is a sin to stay dumb.
Yeah.
You can't help it if you're dumb to start with, but you can help it if you stay dumb for years and years and years. Listen, I know people that's been in church for 30 and 40 years, don't even know what they believe, don't know no verses of Scripture. They say, well, I like it down there because they're friendly. And, you know, they have no idea what their church teaches. Don't know one. I'm telling you the truth. Right around here, they have no idea in the world. What they stand, what the Bible says, or anything. The Bible said, be not as the horse. Now, let me just mention a couple things right quick this morning. And the Bible talks about it. We call it horse sense. Number one, we should have understanding about the depravity of a sinner. The depravity of a sinner. You know, by nature, we are depraved. Our generation don't get that. They think you can go into a project and build nice houses and build some apartment complexes and give everybody carpet and TV and everything, and these people will grow up decent and everything will turn out right. They don't understand that man is depraved by nature.
Right.
You inherit that from your... And if you have raised a child, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Amen.
One of my girls, I don't know if it was... I think it was Corey. One of them, when their kid got about 6 months old, she said, Daddy, she said, sometimes I'll tell them no, and they just look at me and go, I said, there it is. There it is. That's that human nature. They're born with it. A child is born with that rebellious, I want what I want. I don't want to listen. I want to do what I want to do. Where does that come from? They've all got it. They got it from their daddy, and 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 they got it from their daddy, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Every little child. Don't you ever be dumb enough to say, I got good kids. My kids have never needed a whipping. They ain't never been but one kid that didn't need a whipping. That was Jesus. It wasn't your kids, and it wasn't you. Amen. I was just going to Walmart not long ago, and I was trying to get her to come to church, and we got off on that. She said, I've never had to whip my kid. I said, ain't never been a kid that didn't need a whipping. They all do. They all should. That's right, according to the Bible. They got that. You say, well, I just don't believe in that. Be not as a horse. Don't be a horse. Don't even understand that. They have a sinful nature. They have a sinful nature. You want? I see it going in here every Sunday. They're going like it. And then Mama picks them up, take them out, and they go.
Yeah.
Little liar.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
They're lying to you.
Yeah.
And the mama's dumb enough to fall for that every Sunday.
Yeah,
listen, here's how it's supposed to work. I ain't preaching on raising kids. I'm going to try to do that tonight. Here's the way it should be. Okay, I'm going to take you out. No!
Amen. Yeah.
I'm having to say, I'll be good. That's right. Because they know what they're going to get if they get took out. Listen, they know, I want to go back to the nursery and play. They're lying to you. They're lying to you. Lord, there ain't nothing wrong with them. They're little crooks, they're little cons. You know where they got it? From you.
You're right, brother.
You know where you got it? Your mom and daddy.
You're right.
Amen. We need to understand the depravity of a sinner. People go to a psychiatrist. There's millions of dollars spent every week in this country of psychoanalyzing these criminals and stuff and saying what makes them do what they do. And I mean, they take people in there. I'm telling you what. They take people in there that kill people and everything, and they say, tell me about your childhood. And, you know, you didn't get that electric train when you was 5, and you really wanted that electric train, and it warped your personality, and that's why you killed your mom. And you know, and they, anything but tell them the truth. Anything but tell them the truth. You know why people do what they do? People do what they do because they are what they are. And the reason people sin? Because we're sinners. We are sinners by nature. And as soon as we get big enough, we're sinners by choice. The world said, don't call it sin. We're not sin. Yes, we are. We are sinners. I am, you are. Every man and boy and girl on this planet is a born sinner. There's only been one born that didn't sin and wouldn't sin. and that was Jesus, and he never had an earthly father. His father was God. That's why I didn't see him. And so we need to understand. We need to understand the depravity of man. Amen? We need to understand why it's so easy to do wrong. I've had teenagers tell me, "But Danny, why is it so hard to do right?" Because you're bent wrong. It's easy to float down the river with the rest of the world. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to do wrong and you have to make yourself do right? Have you ever noticed how you just naturally... Have you ever noticed you don't have to teach a kid to lie?
Right.
You don't have... All right, something gets broke and you got two kids. You don't have to go in there and say, "Now look, I can tell you how to get out of this. You did it, but tell your mama that you didn't do it." And that way, "Oh, really? I never thought..." You don't even have to tell them to do that.
Right.
How do they already know how to do that?
Yeah.
Who did it? Not me.
Right.
Liars. They're liars. Listen to that. I'm telling you, we have a... You know what? I was watching this video, Mr. T made me, and we've been doing a lot of studying on the New Age and the New World Order and all this stuff coming. And they had this guy on there. He was some kind of a theologian, not a theologian, but a doctor of some big university out west. And that old boy got on there, and he said, "We don't know why people murder and kill each other." He said, "Animals don't do like people do." He said, "We don't know why that humans can't get along and there's wars and stuff." He said, "There's something in the wiring of humanity that's wrong." And I said, "Boy, you're hitting it right there." He just don't realize we are wired wrong.
Yeah.
It's sin.
Yeah.
And we inherit it from our family. And they inherit it back from Adam and Eve. It's the depravity of man. But not only people don't understand the depravity of the sinner, they don't understand the damnation of the soul. The damnation of the soul. In Romans 3:23, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. The Bible said in Revelation 20 and verse 13, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The Bible teaches us you must understand that you are headed for hellfire. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Hell's never been air conditioned, and you can't miss it. You're as good as already there. If you're not saved, you're as good as already in hell. I told you the other Sunday, if that door right over there was going to hell, and this door right here was going to heaven, when I'm born into the world, I'm already going this way.
Right.
You're headed that way when you come into this world with a sinful nature. You have to stop, turn around. That's repentance.
Yeah.
Go back in order to go through that door and go to heaven.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, people don't understand the damnation of a soul. People say, "Don't condemn me. Don't condemn nobody." We don't. You don't have to. The Bible said if you believe not on Him, you are condemned already. Ladies and gentlemen, people need to understand the damnation of the soul. Many see no danger in it. Like the horse. They see no danger. They just go on and on. A horse don't lay down at night and wonder where he's going when he dies. They have no understanding. They have no understanding. They know when they're full. They know when they're scared. They know when they're hungry. And that's the way a lot of people are. They know when they're full. They know when they're scared. They know when they're hungry. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, let me say to you, let me warn you, let me tell you this morning, you need to understand the damnation of the soul. When you're in hell, you don't get out in a million years. When you're in hell, you don't get out in 10 million years. When you're in hell, you don't get out in 100 million years. When you're in hell, you don't get out in 100 trillion years. It's forever and ever and ever and ever, and people don't understand the damnation of the soul. When you got saved, you got your record clear, and you're not going to hell. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's enough to shout about from now on. Listen, if my ball team wins a game, I'm going to shout. I ain't nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy. We have got something to shout about. We have got something to shout about. Just if God never done nothing to you but save you from hell, you've got something to shout about every day of your life. Listen, the damnation of the soul. Number three, we have no understanding of the drawing of the Spirit. Of the drawing of the Spirit. The Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart." The Bible talks about in John chapter 6. Right, that man, he said, "I will draw," and he lifted up, "I will draw all men unto me." Now that scripture is taken out of context by these hotshot churches today, and they think what we'll do, we'll get in here and we're going to lift up Jesus. That ain't what he means. When he said, if I be lifted up, he's talking about his death on the cross. As a matter of fact, two verses down, he said, this he said, signifying what death he should die.
Amen.
So we're not going to come in here and lift up Jesus. That means he crucified him, according to him. We're going to come in here and brag on the Son of God that was lifted up back in the days of the New Testament. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. That goes away with this doctrine that some are drawn and some are not drawn. He said, I will draw all men. There's the drawing of the Holy Ghost on every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world. I heard a preacher the other day on the radio, and he was getting on all this Calvinistic stuff, and he was saying, well, God chose me before the foundation of the world. The Bible said God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. You know what God did? God chose before the foundation of the world to save anybody who gets in Christ. Amen. That's what it says, brother. You are chosen in Christ. You said, no, I wasn't. That's chosen before the foundation of the world. You wasn't in Christ before the foundation of the world. You didn't get in Christ till you got saved. And the Bible said that we were without hope. If you was already saved, you wasn't without hope. If you was already in the book of life, you wasn't without hope. I tell you, I was without hope before I got saved. And without I'm saved, and now I got hope. You'll go to hell if you don't come to Jesus Christ. It ain't no game we're playing here. This is serious business today. Telling you this morning, you need to understand the drawing of the Spirit. Now, don't get it in your head that the Spirit's not drawing you. I've heard people say, well, how do I know the Lord's drawing you? You wouldn't even be in this room today if the Spirit wasn't drawing you. The Lord's dealing with you today, you wouldn't be here. There would be no desire to come to church if the Holy Ghost wasn't drawing you today. The Holy Ghost is drawing somebody here today. The Holy Ghost is speaking. I've had people tell me when I got through preaching, they said, man, when you was up there preaching, something was talking to me.
Amen.
You know that was? That's the Lord. That's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I'm dependent on him to talk to you about that. I ain't smart enough or good enough to convince you. I'm dependent on him to talk to you. I'm dependent on him to talk. Lord, I preached on the Lord's Supper one time, had people get saved. I preached, it ain't me. It's the Holy Ghost drawing the hearts of people and lives and changing here. This morning, you need to understand the drawing of the Spirit.
Yeah.
I never forget. A few days before I got saved, I was bored playing basketball. And that's bad, man, when I get bored playing basketball. I mean, we was playing ball, and I remember thinking, is this all there is to life, throwing this ball in that hole? I like it, but surely there's more than this.
Yeah.
Surely there's more than this. And I got, with music and everything, I remember getting real unsatisfied about a week before I got saved.
How about that?
I remember that. And I remember there were some people up there at Nebo. They said, my cousin, Linda Houck's sister, Jackie, that worked in the store there at Nebo. I went in the store, and Jackie said, Danny, you boys ought to come to our revival. And I like, well, I don't know. But it was like a little something was messing with my heart right in here. And then the dagger came about 3 days later when I went to somebody's house. And they told me, they said, guess what? And they named a buddy of mine, Kenneth Carter, and said, Kenneth Carter got saved last night.
Amen.
And when they said that, something went, something stuck in me. I said, he got saved. I didn't even know really what it meant to get saved.
Right.
I really did. But when I heard he got saved, I knew it was something you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I knew it was something had to do with God, and I knew it was something God had something to do with not going to hell. And I mean, it was like a knife stuck in my chest. And I said, look, and I started wanting to go to church. You know what that is? That's a drawing of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He's calling out a bride, brother, for his son one day. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, and it wasn't but about 3 days, so there I was sitting there in the house of God that night, and a group got up here and sang like our choir a while ago. I went down and got saved, and I got born again. You know what? People have no understanding of that. People think, well, I go to church on Sunday and it makes me feel better, and he says some good things and all that. You're like a horse. You have no understanding. You know something's there, but you don't get it. I'm being nice. I could have used the mule, and you know. I'm being nice and saying you're a horse. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. Listen, I'm glad we can understand the drawing of the Spirit. I said, number one, the depravity of the sinner. Number two, the demand of the soul. Damnation of the soul. Number three, the drawing of the Spirit. Number four, the desire of the Savior. They have no understanding of the desire of the Savior. 1 Peter 3:18 said, for Christ also has once suffered for us, the just for the unjust. Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? In my place. For me. Substitutionary. He was my substitute. You know, people have no understanding of that. You listen, if you don't believe what I'm saying, go talk to 50 people any direction you want to go, any state in America, and ask them what you got to do to go to heaven, and I'll bet you 40 of them will tell you, live a good life,
yeah,
go to church, right, do the best you can. They have no understanding that it's His life for mine.
Yeah.
Like he's playing a song.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like He's our substitute. You've got to understand it's like this. Here's God up in heaven. God is perfect. God don't let no sin go to heaven.
Right.
Okay, here am I. I've got sin in me, on me, around me. I'm a sinful creature. How am I going to get to heaven? You say, well, I'll do better. Man told me the other day, I went and witnessed to him last Saturday, and he said, I'm doing better. He said, I'm doing better. I said, call his name. That ain't good enough.
Right.
I'm going to do better. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit that. I'm going to do that. I still ain't enough.
Right.
So Jesus comes, dies on the cross, and lives a perfect life. Yeah. Perfect.
Thank you.
Now, when I want to go to heaven, what I do, I bow and I trust Jesus to be my Savior.
Yeah.
So when God sees me now, He don't see me, He sees Jesus.
Amen.
You know what? People don't understand that. You're like the horse, they have no understanding.
Yeah.
If you can get people to see that, then people will get saved.
Amen.
He's our substitute.
Yeah.
He's our in-between. He's our daysman.
Yeah.
He is our vicarious atoning of death on the cross. Brother, we need to see the desire of the Savior.
Yeah.
Nobody ever loved you like Him. It's like this, you're born once, you die twice. You're born twice, you die once. What does that mean, Brother Danny? It means I was born when I was a little bitty baby. I was born once. I don't remember it, but I know I was. Mom told me I was. My mom would never lie to me. So I was born the first time. Then when I was 18, at Nebo Baptist Church, I got born again. I was born twice.
Yeah.
Now, I only have to die once.
Amen.
Physical death, and I die and go to heaven.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not saved, you're only born once when you're a little baby. And then you die physical death. That's one. And then you come up and the judgment. And the Bible said death and hell cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Yeah. You die twice.
Amen.
So if you're only born one time, you have to die two times. And you live forever and ever and ever in hell. Or if you're born two times, you only die one time.
Right.
Don't be like a horse. Understand that.
Right.
Be not as a horse. Go tell a horse he has to be born again. He'll look at you just like Kathy Griffin would look at you. Tell a horse he must trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior for vicarious atonement for his sins. And he'll look at you like Bill Maher would look at you. Amen. They have no understanding. Let me say this hurriedly and I'm done. You need to understand the decision of salvation. 1 John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Today, now, right now. I did it when I was 18. You can do it this morning. It's like this. God's voting for you. The devil's voting against you. And you got the deciding vote. You sway the election one way or the other. Did you hear me? You determine the outcome of the election. The outcome of the election is not determined for you. It is determined by you.
Right.
People say, well, whatever's to be is to be. If I'm doomed, I'm doomed. No, it's your vote, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
God's for you. The devil's against you. You got the deciding vote.
Yeah.
I like to hear the old preacher said. He said, if you want to do right, God will help you. If you want to do wrong, the devil will help you.
Right.
Now, it's your decision. You make up your mind. I want to say this. I never forget reading about old Arthur Green, who's walking down the street in Cincinnati, Ohio. And him and a buddy, a friend of his, walking down the street. This is way back years ago. And there's thousands of people out on the street. And Arthur Green hollered out and he said, "I hate the devil!" You ever done that? Try it in a crowd sometime. "I hate the devil!" And his buddy come up and said, "I do too!" And he said, out of the crowd, a man came with tears in his eyes. And he said, "You're right." And he said, "I need to get saved. What do I got to do to get saved?" Boy, that old boy got his understanding. Isn't that something? That's an unconventional way to win a soul. Try it. Go downtown Charlotte. Try it. Just try it. You never know what might happen. "I hate the devil!" That's a good thing to holler out in public. You ain't chicken, are you? Amen. Listen, you don't have to be a genius. God opened his understanding. I read the story in St. Louis, Missouri. A businessman who was a Christian, been doing business with his lawyer. Brilliant lawyer. And they finally settled up his business deal. He's buying some land or something. And he told his lawyer, he said, "Before I leave, I want to ask you one question." He said, "Are you a Christian?" And his lawyer looked back and he said, "No, why'd you ask me that?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you the truth. I've just been trying to get up my nerve to ask you, and I'm scared to. I just want to know, are you a Christian?" He said, "No, you know all that scripture about a drunkard came in." He said, I get drunk all the time. And you know that scripture about a drunkard not going to heaven. And tell you the truth, nobody's never told me how to be a Christian. And he said, "Well, I can tell you how." And he sat down and told that man how to get saved. And the lawyer got down in his office and accepted the Lord as his Savior and got saved. His name was C.I. Schofield.
Amen.
And he got saved and he became a preacher and he edited the most widely used study Bible in the world, the Scofield Reference Bible.
Wow.
And that old boy, he was a genius. He really was. And he used his talent for God. And you know why? His understanding kicked in.
Yeah.
He said, "I ain't going to be like no stupid horse and just run off a cliff. I'm going to get this thing settled."
Amen.
Now, you may be a smart person here today as far as brains, but don't be like a horse with no understanding. The smartest thing you could do here today would be to get out of your seat, come down here, and like a man or woman, I'm not trying to play on your emotions or nothing, I'm just telling you, get down here and get your heart right with God. Be not as a horse that has no understanding. Let's stand with our heads bowed.